You've got these, hopefully, as you came in. They're called Join In. Join Us. So first of all, I'm going to talk to you about our appeal. But I want to just highlight at the front of this Join Us voucher. It's a voucher. You can join us. It's an invitation. This tells you a bit about what Tear Fund does. And we are here, and we believe in relentless love. That's what our brand essence is, for those of you that are in marketing. We're about being relentless. That's what our passion is. And we used to be just relentless, but then they said, no, because we're about love, God's love. And is it Jeff that said about love this morning? God's love. We're here to help the churches show God's love. And so there are three things that we specialise in. Because for years, and we've been going 50 years next year, we did loads of stuff. And you can't do loads of stuff really, really well. And we wanted to do it really well, and we wanted to serve the church really well. So we've been focusing over the last few years. And three things that you need to know about Tear Fund. Firstly, we believe in empowering communities. And our essential is that we believe empowering the church so that communities can be empowered. We would love to work with churches around this world to make a difference, to recreate creation as it was. That's our preferred way of working. It's not always possible. It's not always possible. We want to change the communities to be sustainable. But you've seen what's going on in the news. You've seen the crisis that's happening out in East Africa. It's a disaster. It would take us years to work with the church and change it, so we can't. Because you can't leave people like that for years. So at times like this, we go into operational mode. Sounds a bit like Action Man or something like that. And at the moment, we have got a team in South Sudan. They have been there for a while. And they have been and will continue to feed about 50,000 children who are malnourished. But you've seen the news. You've seen it's bigger than that. So we want to scale up. We want to scale up some of our operational work, but we want to help the churches, not just in South Sudan, but in other countries that we work in East Africa, to scale up and to work more. And that's why we are taking part in the DEC appeal and asking for you to give to us. People in Chad have this much food for a family for a day. It's one of those herb pots that, you know, you sprinkle a few on, and it's about half full. If it was full of herbs, it would be 38 grams. So I think it's actually certainly less than I would give my son in one portion of rice to go with whatever we were eating. That's what they've got for a family of five a day. To make ends meet, they weave baskets, and this takes them 5 days, and they can sell it for about the cost of 2 days' food. It's not working, and we want to change that. But in the interim, we need to make sure they've got food. So that what you're going to give today will go towards making sure we can do that. And the third thing we specialise, so it's working in communities and churches, working in disasters, and thirdly, in advocacy. Because it's about changing policies. It's about changing governments. It's about influencing. And I'm going to talk to you especially about influencing this morning. Is the lady here that went on the conference? Because I haven't met her yet. Wave to me. This lady went to a conference to hear about our restorative economy. And I've read that report, so you've been doing really well if you've read that report, because I only read the summary version and I got lost halfway through. We want to talk this morning particularly about the planet and what we can do and what we can work with the people around the world to do that. So I'm going to introduce that to you now. And we've got two videos, one at the beginning and one at the end. And here's the first one, just to set the scene for you. Do I need to say any more? Now, my aim is that we have 100 of these postcards filled out and sent back. We have 18. So I don't know how many of us are in this service. Who's counted? 94. So if we get 94 of these, does that include the children? Okay. Anybody that can write can fill one of these in if you haven't already done it. So we can go over 100. And then we can take these back and we can campaign to the government. So that's what I'm asking you for this morning. I want you to stand with us. But let me tell you a little bit more of what we believe and why we believe this makes a difference. Because this is a very simple action you can take, but there's more. Because we know there are easy things we can do. But sometimes God calls us to do things that are more difficult than just the easy things. So I want you to think about this morning, what easy things can you do, like signing my postcard? What difficult things, what more slightly more difficult things is God asking you to do? What is he calling you to? So we heard amazingly read the story of creation. But we know, if we'd gone on, that mankind soon began to disobey God. We had an amazingly perfect symbiotic relationship, which was totally destroyed. If we read Romans chapter 1, it charts our downfall. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served things rather than the Creator." The writer of Romans talks about how mankind had developed over all those years, how we got worse and worse and worse. When I was a child, lying was not done. And it was, you know, you did not lie. It was very strong. When I left home and lost my way slightly, lying, little white ones like, "Oh yes, that really does look nice on you," began to creep in. And I began to learn how it was easier to lie and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I've already got plans next Thursday," rather than say, "I'm sorry, I just don't really want to do that," or to go and do it. And it's a slippery slope, isn't it? We start and it's easy to build it up. But this is the beginning. The beginning was we had creation, one bite of an apple, and the beginning of the chaos we see our world in now. We've got a PowerPoint, I think. We have a picture of Sylvia. Yes, keep going. That's the one. This is Sylvia. We saw her on the video. She's a farmer. Any farmers with us this morning? We did in the earlier service. I'm sure we've got some gardeners, allotment holders. Now you've got stamina. I've had to give my allotment up. I don't have the stamina. But as a farmer, Sylvia has stamina. Now, Andrew said that my better half was with me. Complementary half. In Africa, we know that very often things are unequal. And we know that very often it is the women that do all the farming, all the cooking, all the looking after of the children and the going to the fields and going for water. Sylvia gets tired. Sylvia wants to do the best to feed her children and to feed her family. But she said, "I only got 4 bags of maize." 4 bags sounds a lot, doesn't it? We imagine big ones and we think that'll go for a long time. But it won't. We get that hunger gap. Remember looking at it at school when I was about 12, they talked to us about that. That time between one crop being ready and what you could eat and the next crop being ready. And that hunger gap is getting bigger and bigger for farmers like Sylvia. More droughts, more unpredictable rains. Crops that should be up here are shriveled and down here. She can only do her best with what she's been given. It's not just in Malawi where we see that. And on our next slide. And again. Oh, I really need to do something about that one. In Kenya, El Nino, the rains, the storms come and destroy houses. And they become more unpredictable. And again, we see crops destroyed. Houses destroyed. In Nigeria, people say, we don't need our jumpers anymore. It's always summer. They talk about how there used to be 6 rivers in the town, and now there is only 1. They talk about how they used to see lots of wildlife, and now there's nothing. In Zimbabwe, the rainy season is no longer 5 months, it's only 3 months. And in the Philippines, we've seen tropical storms. In Bangladesh, the sea level is rising. Land is getting flooded. If I haven't depressed you enough, shall I start talking about the UK? We started with a world that was in a perfect relationship with God. And we destroyed it. But we know we haven't just got that one book in the Bible, because we know that the rest of the Bible is the story of how God is recreating that world. How God didn't give up on us. How about he re-establishes a relationship? Our Bible is a story of hope. And we are part of that story of hope. We're a people of hope and of justice in an unjust world. Move on, thank you. Jesus came into the temple. First century teacher. He's handed the scroll, which he read from. We read it in Luke chapter 4. He is quoting from Isaiah 61 and 58. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Jesus' manifesto statement. Right at the beginning of his ministry, he says, this is what I am about. How would we feel if he were standing here today? Would we cheer? Would we get excited? Jesus took the words he'd learned as a child from Isaiah 61. And he takes from Isaiah 58 those words to set the oppressed free. Isaiah 58 is a key chapter in the story of the Jewish nations. Here, God tells the Israelites that their fast, their worship, is not good enough. Justice is what they must seek. Jesus puts 2 passages together and then adds his own little bit. Today, these scriptures have come true in your hearing. Jesus' promise. Not like some manifestos for our politicians that we're not sure whether we believe. Here is a man who could make it happen, who had the power and the backing of the whole of creation to make this happen. He could have just zapped them. We know that. But he chose not to. He chose to choose 12 people, one of whom he knew would betray him, and to change the world through those 12 men. And you are here because of that. You are direct descendants of the disciples. Descendants of their message. Descendants of their calling. And you are as much called to do that as they were. And you are as much empowered to do that as they were. God created a world of relationships. our relationships of man and woman and animals and nature. And they were perfect. But those relationships broke. He calls us to put those relationships back together. He calls us to be reconcilers. And the next slide, please. So how do we rebuild those relationships? Thank you. Next one. So we have a relationship to God. How is your relationship with God? Because if you don't get that one right, the other ones are really hard to get right. But it's easier sometimes, isn't it, to pay more attention to the relationships about us than it is to our relationship with God. You live in an amazing countryside of which I am thoroughly envious and jealous. You can see God's power. And I come here and I walk on the beach and I connect with God. Don't forget to connect with God in your everyday. I've become very good at reading people what people are telling me about God and very bad at not connecting with God. Don't do that. Don't read all the commentaries in the books and forget to talk to him direct. It's a bit like me going and telling my son to go and tell his dad something rather than just speaking straight to him. Build that relationship with God. And our next relationship. This is a new sign. The rest of creation. How is your relationship with creation? Andrew's very proud of your solar panels. I'm very proud of mine because I get the same amount of energy for less panels. So I'm feeling good about that. How are you working with creation? How is your recycling? How are you making choices about the food you eat? How are you supporting the growers around you? We stayed in one of these Airbnb places that I'd never done before. And when we got there yesterday, a lovely selection of Dorset food awaited us. And it was lovely to see the stuff that was produced on the doorstep. How are we relating to creation? Do we think about it? Do we think about it when we drive our cars? And we were umming and ahhing. Do we go back via Studland and the Paul Ferry, or do we drive around the outside? And we think about the financial the differences and where we've got to get to. But actually, did we think about the emissions from our car and what difference it makes, even if I only save 18 miles and it takes me longer and I'm not actually where I want to get to? What choices do we make? And our next relationship, our relationship with others. How are you building those relationships? How are you nurturing that? It was lovely to sit in the prayer meeting this morning and hearing the encouragement from each other and to see the way you all relate to each other. But is there a relationship that's not quite working? What's that relationship like with your next door neighbour? Is the one person that you avoid? Is the one person that avoids you? What's your relationship like with others? And this is the hard one. What's your relationship like with yourself? Do you like yourself? Do you believe that you are powerful human beings created by God to be creators of the world? I work for Tear Fund. I come and do this on my day off because I believe in what Tear Fund does. My job at Tear Fund is to develop our staff. And one of my most popular courses is building confidence. It's not my most popular one to run. It's the one that people want to come to the most. And the last one we ran, we had 9 ladies on that course, starting off the course telling me what they couldn't do. what they were afraid of doing. All Christians, all believing in a powerful God, but all limited. By the end of the course, we had them crying because of the things that God had enabled them to do, because they trusted in him. And that song that Jeff read for us this morning, what is God enabling you to do? Do you believe in what God is asking you to do? When we mend these relationships, poverty can be dealt with, because poverty is a result of misaligned relationships. And the next slide, please. When we imitate Christ, we become part of his good news. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. This is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. And our next slide. Back to Malawi and Sylvia. The church there, Tear Fund Partners, Assemblies of God, is trying to reconcile Sylvia to the world, to the people around her. Now, I said I had an allotment, and I would get my seeds every year, and I would read the back of the packet to see when I'm supposed to plant them, and I put them in order according to which ones should be going in which month, and I do my plans, and it never ceases to amaze me that Sylvia doesn't know that by planting seed at a particular time she gets a better yield. That by planting the seed at the right time she can get two yields. It still amazes me in this world, when I've got Monty Don on tap and Alan Titchmarsh and all the other gardeners, that Sylvia doesn't know that mulching makes a difference. The things which I, as a gardener in the UK, take for granted, and I am doing this as a hobby rather than for my food, somebody who has that as a business doesn't know. The programme used to be called Farming God's Way. It's now called Foundations for Farming. We're trying to help people like Sylvia understand. And they go beyond that. When I was in Kenya, I was shown chili plants, and they said, this is our new crop. And because there's a cooperative of them, and they've got an expert now on tap, they know that there is a market for chilies, and they can get far more money for those than they can for other things, and they've switched what they're producing. And they're working together. So there's more of them, so they've got more selling power and buying power. Tear Fund's partners are bringing people together. I always thought Africans got on with each other. I don't know where I got that from. It's because they're always smiling and dancing in the videos, I'm sure. But you know, they're no different to us. They walk past their neighbours in the street. They have trust issues. And some of them that have been in conflict environments have got far more reasons to have trust issues than any of us have ever had. But by coming together and bringing them around farming, and bringing them around food, that essential thing, those trust issues are being resolved. And people are working together. We're building those relationships. What about the relationship with God? Well, they start there. The first thing they do when they get a group together is read them that story from Genesis chapter 1. Which is why we read it in full and in a different version. Because they need to know that God created this. And they need to know that it's their responsibility to look after it. Because they too think, somebody else is going to do this for me. The government's going to build the roads. The government's going to do this. We want to tell them that you can do it. You, community, can come together and we'll help you and we'll stay with you for 3 years or more if that's what it takes. And when you know you can do it, We want to take you down the road to tell the community next to you that they can do it. We want to tell them. It doesn't stay with you. It's about passing it on. Thank you for giving to Tear Fund. Thank you for supporting us in our disaster work. Thank you for filling out my cards so that we can take back and say to the government, we want you to make a difference. But consider as well, will you please, whether you want to join with us longer term, whether you can commit to giving to us on a regular basis as individuals, as part of your reconciling to the world around you, so that we can commit to being in those communities for the long haul. Because it doesn't work in 5 minutes. You know that. You've seen children grow and develop. You've seen prejudice built up over years. It's not a 5-minute fix. Next year is our 50th anniversary. We would love to say we're not needed anymore, but the reality is we are. And we want to still be here if we're needed in 50 years' time. So please let me ask you to stand with us in that. I'm going to play you another video. And as you reflect and as you see this, and it'll just recap some of the things I've talked about, just pray. And listen to God for what he wants to say to you as individuals. About which relationship is it within you that he wants to speak about? And what does he want you to do in response? Thank you.